Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
And welcome back to the 11 o'clock hour of Issel and Louis. Louis is off today, and sitting in for Louis is our good friend Jack Grossman. And this hour of the show is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enroll in a dental or vision plan is easy. You can call them at 1-800-955-2030, or you can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com. And now, every Friday at 11 o'clock, we have Picks Without Pat, brought
on
to you
Fridays,
by...
Fridays, we talk football.
Oh, football Friday.
And some might even call us experts.
Let's go pee!
So let's do the damn thing.
Let's go!
Yeah, all right.
We're gonna do it, brother. Jack.
Here's Picks with Pat, presented by Chef's Cut Pizza.
We even have music.
I know. How about that?
That's terrific. A reminder again, Chef Cut Pizza at the corner of LaGrange Road and UPS Drive. They have that luncheon special every day, $5.99. And, of course, on Sunday, they have the all-day happy hour. And you need to check out that hot brown pizza at Chef's Cut. Very, very good.
Yeah, that's what I'm making Louie get me.
Love the hot brown pizza. Yeah, yeah. Have you had it before?
I have, and it is phenomenal.
No, it is good. Whoever came up with that idea knew what they were talking about. Okay, Picks Without Pat, and of course tomorrow only one college football game on the schedule: Army and Navy, which is always a spectacular game to watch, no matter how good or how bad the two teams are. So we're going to go with five NFL games, and we're going to start with the Minnesota Vikings, who I believe are 10-2.
Yes.
At the Detroit Lions, and the Lions are a 2-point favorite. Figure that one out. Where are you going here, Jack?
Yeah, that's why I put that one on there, because I'm like, how in the world does that happen? How does that happen?
Well, the Lions are playing better.
And they're feisty.
And they have become, outside, the Bengals have always been my favorite team. And the Broncos are my second favorite team, and they stink this year too. But the Lions, just because of their coach, that guy, he's a stand-up. That's what an NFL football coach should look like, act like, talk like. Dan Campbell, is that his name, Jack?
That is his name.
Yeah. He's got the Lions going in the right direction, and also they have the Rams, who pulled off an unbelievable comeback last night against the Raiders with Baker Mayfield at the controls. They have the Rams' first draft pick in the Stafford deal. So they're getting better. They're getting better. But I don't know. The Vikings are 10-2, Jack. Who do you like here?
I'm torn on this. So I'm completely torn on this. As we actually, sorry for sounding distracted at the moment, we got some breaking news here from Chris Mortensen. I'm sorry to interrupt Picks Without Pep, but Liam Cohen is apparently heading back to Kentucky to be the offensive coordinator.
Wow. Wow. That is a huge get.
Yeah, that's absolutely monumental. I mean, and thanks for Andy for sending me that. But, yeah, Chris Mortensen reporting that Rams OC assisted in Baker Mayfield's rush prep for Thursday Night Football dramatics, but he is heading back to UK football as offensive coordinator, the job that he had in 2022 or 2021, according to sources. Okay. UK fans can relax. So Louisville got the guy they wanted, and now Kentucky has gotten the guy that they wanted to run the offense as well, Dan.
Yeah, yeah. The Cats let Louisville be on the front page for a day. for a day. Then they had to do something to take them off of there. Now, and, I said this before. Lee and Combe did a great job, obviously. But Lee and Combe also had a terrific offensive line, and he had a running back that was probably one of the top two or three running backs in the country.
Yes,
in Rodriguez, and Sangarello had a sieve for an offensive line. I mean, if his quarterback took a 7-step drop, there were guys waiting for him when he turned around. So I'm not completely, saying, well, Sangarello was terrible, Cohen was great, so it's good. I mean, obviously, this is a coup for Kentucky. And this part of this has to be living in Lexington, Kentucky, as opposed to living in L.A. But good for, because I've lived in both places, Jack, and there's no comparison. And so good for Kentucky. That's a huge get. But I'll be happier when they start telling me they have NFL-type offensive linemen, because they don't have any of those right now.
Right. And you also have to remember the role that Liam Cohen played in getting Will Levis to Lexington and getting Wandell Robinson to Lexington, really identifying two guys that were being completely misused at their current programs and saying, I can get you here and put you in better positions to have really, really good careers, where Wandell Robinson was a beast for Kentucky in 2021. And Will Levis, rightfully or wrongfully, is going to be a first-round draft pick, more likely than not, in the NFL. Yeah. No, Jeff, we'll get to that a little bit later. But
exactly. But we'll talk about that after the picks. But, hopefully Cohen's got somebody as good as Levis that he has identified and is bringing with him.
Yeah, and it better be better than Graham Mertz, because I don't know if you've ever seen Graham Mertz play, Dan, but woof. He's, the sell job on Graham Mertz, which he hadn't officially committed to Kentucky yet, but all the signs have been pointing to that. He was highly rated coming out of high school, but, man, he really, really struggled throughout three different seasons with Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't sound like he's in the Levis category.
Anyway. No. Both in terms of even, because the thing with Levis was, if you remember, it was like, yeah, he's the backup, he can run, but we've never actually seen the guy throw the ball. Graham Mertz is a statue back there. He doesn't give you any of a running dimension. He has really struggled passing the football. I get it, he hasn't exactly had the best receivers at Wisconsin, but he's always had an offensive line. There's one thing Wisconsin's ever going to have. It's an offensive line.
Exactly.
And during his time with the Badgers, Wisconsin went from being a team that routinely won 10, 11 games, going to Rose Bowls, being in Big Ten championship games, to 6-6 and the coach being fired midway through the season this year. That's what Graham Mertz's tenure at Wisconsin was.
Good for the Cats. They got their man. So we'll see how that turns out. Okay, Jack. Vikings, Lions, -2.
All righty. I need some other breaking news so I can avoid picking this kid. I'm joking. I'm going to go with the Lions +2, a pick that I have absolutely no faith in, other than the fact is then I can play the I don't trust Kirk Cousins card, which, even though this spread makes absolutely no sense to me, but against To quote Drew Deaner, I'm going to hold my nose and pick the Lions -2 because that just feels like a trap to pick the Vikings.
That's exactly right. They are begging you. And I say this,
and I'm usually the guy that falls into the trap and takes the trap.
Yeah.
But even I'm saying it this time.
Yeah. No, they're begging you to bet the Vikings here, and I'm always amazed how close the line makers come on these things. I'm going to avoid the trap and take the Lions -2 as well. Okay, the second game, the New York Jets. At the Buffalo Bills, the Bills are a 10-point favorite.
You know, usually when I look at these games, I view these very differently in college and the NFL, because in college, I could say 10 points, that sounds like a lot, but it's only when you really look at it, it's only a two-score game. Like that, in football, 10 isn't a huge number for me in the college game. In the NFL, though, that is a lot more than what you would normally see, to where the Jets have a really good defense. You never know what the weather in Buffalo is going to be this time of year, to where I'm going to take the Jets to do enough to keep the game competitive enough.
Wow, we have to disagree someplace.
I know, I'm taking
the Jets too. You're absolutely right. I think there's supposed to be some nasty weather this weekend in Buffalo, and you know, from August to May, there usually is crummy weather in Buffalo.
I still can't believe you haven't been to Niagara Falls, Dan.
No, haven't been to Niagara.
As someone who has actually been there, it is worth it. It was really cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll take my second wife there on our honeymoon. and of course, the Bills are without. Who's their great linebacker that played for the Broncos?
Von Miller.
Von Miller's out for the year. I'm taking the Jets and getting the 10 points. Next game, the Philadelphia Eagles at the Cowboys. No, at the Giants.
Yeah.
At the Giants. The Eagles are a 7-point favorite. Where do you land here, Jack?
Well, it's our old friend Bobby versus Andy Sweeney's team in this one. And the Eagles are playing really good football. And
wait a second. Sweeney's a Giant fan?
Yeah.
Where'd that come from? Is he from there?
He's from he's actually from Western New York originally, so really more towards Buffalo, but that was when the Giants were actually good. He is a big-time Giants fan.
Okay, all right.
An often frustrated Giants fan recently,
yes,
is the better way of putting it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm going to pick against his Giants this time, because even in New York, I think the Eagles are just going to blow them out.
Yeah, you know what? It seems like if I get a touchdown, I'm in a NFL NFC
East
game. Yep. East, yeah. If I'm going to get a touchdown, I know the Eagles have been playing well. I know that Hurts is probably the leading MVP candidate right now. He's having a great year, but the Giants have been competitive.
Yes,
and a touchdown, a touchdown in the NFL is a lot of points. I'm going to take the Giants.
Fair enough. There we go. The G-Men.
I'm going to take the G-Men. All right. The next game, I'm keeping track of this. So if we do well, we'll mention it Monday. If we do poorly, you'll never hear about it again.
As is tradition.
Exactly. The Texans, who are absolutely god-awful, are at the Cowboys. The Cowboys are 17.5-point favorites. Jack?
Yeah, I literally only have this game on here just because the spread is that damn big. And I'll put it this way. Dallas is a good team. The Texans are a train wreck. I don't think Dallas can beat a team by 18 points, even though they just beat the Colts by like a million last week. But
yeah.
To expect them to go out and just demolish teams 2 weeks in a row in the NFL is asking a lot to me. Plus, I picked up Nico Collins in fantasy this week, and I need a good game from him as well. I'm going to take the Texans not to, to really even be competitive in the game, but to lose by less than 17.5.
I'm completely the opposite. I think the Cowboys might win this game by 35. So I'm taking the boys. I'm taking America's team at home, giving the Texans 17.5.
Well, since we're on the topic of fans of people at the station, you know who's a big Cowboys fan?
No.
Your boy Rum.
Rummage?
Yeah.
Well, now, why would he be a Cowboys fan?
I don't know the story behind that one. I just know he's a massive Cowboys fan.
Must be just a front runner from when they were doing good. I think I just saw on television this morning that the Cowboys have not been in the NFC Finals since 1995.
Yeah, that's about right. That's a long time.
That's a long time, yeah. The last game on picks without Pat.
Which I have one more I want to throw in, actually. And it's on me.
All right, so we have two more. Yes. Do we have two more? The last one I have is Tampa Bay from that very competitive NFC South. I think they're leading the division with a 6-6 record. At the 49ers, who don't have a quarterback, but they're still favored by 3.5. Who do you have here, Jack?
Brock Purdy is the starting quarterback for the 49ers. You know what the Louisville connection to Brock Purdy is, Dan?
I do not.
His brother, Chubba Purdy, was a who I once on a sports center as an intern called Chubby Purdy. I'm not going to make you find that sound, Avery, but was once a Louisville quarterback commit under Scott Satterfield and then decommitted, went to Florida State, and is now the backup quarterback at Nebraska. So even though he was highly rated, I don't think Louisville was missing much in that one.
It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, but I'm not trusting Brock Purdy against Tom Brady. No way in hell I am trusting Brock Purdy over Tom Brady. To where, I get it, Tom Brady's old, the game's in San Francisco, they're very mid as a team, but I'm taking the Bucs all day plus 3.5 against San Fran and Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I think just about anybody. I don't think Garoppolo is even an average quarterback, and he's had success there. I think pretty as well. There's probably 10 people on the roster they could put in Shanahan's offense and be successful. And the 49ers, their defense, I mean, it seems like almost every week, the first three quarters of the game, Brady's awful. And then somehow finds a way to be competitive coming down the stretch. I don't think he does that against the 49ers. I'm taking San Francisco and giving the 3.5.
Fair enough. A couple texts before we get to our last game. UBS Jobs text line, 502-437-9680. Texter says, Rummage is an 80s front runner. Louisville basketball, Tennessee football, and the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, there you go.
Texter says, statue sounds perfect for the Stoops offense. Talking about Graham Mertz. So the I actually disagree with that because, Will Levis could run. Terry Wilson, for as much as I, criticized him during his time at UK, he was a runner. They've had mobile quarterbacks the last few years there. But anyways, the last game, because I feel like we have to put this one because it's your Bengals, our dear friend Mike's Browns, Bengals -5.5. We got to pick this game.
Okay.
So Bengals -5.5. What do you got, Dan?
Are they – where's the game?
The game is in Cincinnati.
Well, I've got to pick my Bengals. Although I will say that – as much success as Joe Burrows has had against Kansas City, he's won the last three times the Bengals and Kansas City have played. Kansas City, in their last 25 games, they're 20-5. They're 20-2 against the rest of the league and 0-3 against the Bengals. So they've got Kansas City's number. Transversely, Cleveland has had their number. Burroughs has not had good games against Cincinnati, against Cleveland, but I'm still picking the Bengals. What's the spread? 5.5?
The spread is 5.5, and I'm going to go against you again. I'm going to pick the Browns because of what you said, because the Browns have owned Cincinnati in that rivalry. And until that changes, I'm just going to default to it. I'm going to pick Cleveland to cover the 5.5.
Okay. All right. Well, that has been Picks Without Pat. Have you talked to Pat lately, Jack?
I have, actually, a couple of times.
How's our buddy doing down there in Charlotte?
He is living his best life in Charlotte. He absolutely loves it down there.
Good for him.
I couldn't be happier for him, even though we miss him up here.
Yeah, we do that. Picks Without Pat has been brought to you by Chef's Cut Pizza on the corner of LaGrange Road and UPS Drive. Don't forget that all-day happy hour on Sunday. And stop in and try that hot brown pizza.
Get the hot brown pizza, brother.
Hot brown pizza. Jack, I want to ask your opinion. I seem to be the only guy that has this opinion. And I know Louie totally disagrees with me. I imagine the guys on First Watch would disagree with this. But where do you stand on people skipping their college team's bowl game and to get ready for, quote unquote, the NFL draft?
I'll say this. I understand where there's special instances that are exceptions to this rule. But to me, generally, there is not a thing in sports that is more meaningless than a college football bowl game. I don't see the value in it. I think it's just a TV product that's thrown out there to say, hey, here's football, consume it. And we as Americans do consume it. I will give them that. But to me, these games are just glorified exhibitions that mean absolutely nothing for anyone. And I think that there's exceptions to, you know, the Rose Bowl, or like, you know, if you're someone like me and IU football hasn't won a bowl game since 1991, it would be nice to win one of those. But for me, the vast majority of these games mean absolutely nothing to the general sports fan. It means absolutely nothing to the players and the coaches. To me, the only thing you actually get out of it that's beneficial is that you get the additional 14, 15 practices, whatever it is.
Right.
That's something that's actually tangible that can be helpful to help you build into next year. But to me, I don't have any problem with players skipping the bowl games for the NFL draft, because I don't think the game means anything anyways. I go back to a guy like, you know, Jake Butt, the Michigan tight end 5 years ago, who was the best tight end in college football, decides to play in the Orange Bowl against Florida State in 2016 and has a catastrophic injury, goes from being probably a second, third round pick to not being drafted, and now he's an analyst on BTN.
Yeah. I think he wound up. I know he wound up because my grandsons thought it was really funny
that his name was Jake Butt.
And they all had his jersey with butt on the back of it. So I know he was in Denver for a while with the Broncos.
He was.
But you're absolutely right. He never accomplished anything. I can see that. I have a hard time. Whoa. Before I get to that, how do you feel about the wide receiver for Ohio State? Now that game does mean something. They're playing for a national championship. What about that guy?
Yeah, that's totally different, because, you know, my whole premise of it is that the bowl games are meaningless. The college football playoff is quite literally the most important games that you'd be playing as a college player. To skip those, that to me is a totally different thing than the bowl games. That to me, like, you owe yourself to your team and your teammates to play in those games. That to me is selfish, to not play in the college football playoff. Yeah. Because you put everything into those games to play, to make the CFP and to play for a national championship. And then to pull out at that point for the NFL draft, that to me is incredibly different than, like, Will Levis and Chris Rodriguez not playing in the Music City Bowl.
Right. So I agree with that 100%. So let me ask you this. Number one, will you watch the Music City Bowl? And number two, without Rodriguez and Levis, how many points does Kentucky score against Iowa?
I'll put it this way. If I did not work in radio, there is an absolutely 0% chance that I would watch the Music City Bowl. Since I do work in radio, I will not be watching it live because the Louisville-Kentucky basketball game, even though that game's going to be a mess, as someone who grew up in Louisville, there's not a sporting event I look forward to more than the Louisville-Kentucky basketball game. Mm-hmm. I love that game. I've been obsessed with that game pretty much all my life. So even though Louisville's going, like, Kentucky's going to beat Louisville by whatever score John Calipari wants them to, I'm going to watch that game. So,
but you'll tape the Music City Bowl.
I'll tape the Music City Bowl and watch it back later. Okay.
Well, I guess I do work in radio.
Yes.
Although this isn't work. This is fun.
This is fun.
This is a joy for me. But I won't be even taping it and watching it. I heard the over and under. Now, this might have changed since Levis and Rodriguez have bowed out. But I heard the over under was around 30, 31 points. I never bet sports. I might make an exception for that because I think the score of this game is going to be like 9-3.
The over-under currently right now is 31.5, and I agree with you. I don't know if there's a number you could put on there unless it's single digits to where I would bet the over.
Yeah.
Iowa is the worst offense college football has seen since probably the 1940s, and Kentucky's going to be playing with Kaya Sharon, and I don't know who the hell the running back's going to be because C-Rod's gone, Kavastia Smoke's in the portal. I guess Utah McClain's going to get a lot of carries, but... Well, Utah McClain's fine, but you don't have your two best offensive weapons. Iowa has a really good defense. You know what the difference in this game is going to be? The fact that Iowa is really good at punting the ball and playing special teams, and Kentucky has struggled in that aspect all year long.
Yeah, I said 9-3. I didn't say who would have the 9.
I think 9's a lot of points for one of these two teams, to be honest. Are we sure it's not going to be like 5-3 with one of the teams having a safety?
Could be. It could be, that's for sure. Talking about Will Levis, there's a new – why can't I remember this guy's name? Help me, Jack.
Mel Kiper Jr.
Mel Kiper, thank you. There's a new Mel Kiper list of the NFL draft, his mock draft, and you will not believe where Will Levis is. We'll talk about that after the break. This is Issel and Louie on ESPN 680 105.7. And this hour of the show is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. If you're looking for Delta dental coverage for your employees or for your family, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered. You can visit them online at ky.deltadental.com.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
And welcome back. This is Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 105.7. We want to thank our friend Jack Grossman for sitting in this morning and doing an excellent job at that. We also want to thank George and the Bear Nose team for bringing lunch by the ESPN studios today. Bear Nose has you covered for all of the big events this weekend. Carry out, delivery, or dine in. There are 14 area locations in Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
I heard we got some mustard coming to the studio for you.
There you go.
Today.
There you go. There you go. That's the only way to have pizza. That's the only way to have pizza.
You put mustard on the old hot brown pizza?
Yes. Now
that sounds really good.
I didn't do it when we visited out there. Because I didn't want to offend any of the chefs or the people that make the pizza. But when Pratt and I used to do the show from Bear Nose at Bowman Field.
Oh, yeah.
Field.
I remember those.
Mike and Mike, yeah, you stopped by and produced it one time, one or two times.
A couple times. Of course, yeah. That was when I was in the middle of Vitality. Oh, that killed me.
But at Bowman Field Bear Nose, they actually have two jars of mustard with our names on them. So, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, no. The Bear Nose pizza with pepperoni, sausage, banana pepper, and mustard. It is the best.
Also, just a reminder, some coverage this weekend. Louisville basketball at Florida State. Kenny Payne and the Cards look to win their first game of the year on Saturday when they travel to one win. Florida State pregame coverage of Paul Rogers begins at 11:30 a.m. with tip-off at 1 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville and the ESPN Louisville app. Louisville basketball, women's basketball takes on Kentucky. Coverage of Nick Curran starts at 12:30 with tip-off in Lexington at 1 o'clock with Dave Skoll and Chrissy Banta with the Coors Light postgame show right after the game. Bellarmine basketball takes on Murray State. That's going to be a fun one, Dan. Murray State, obviously, 31-3, went to the second round of the NCAA tournament last year. They come to Freedom Hall tomorrow, and you can get $5 tickets to that one. But join Doug Gourmet and Mark Bug on the radio call at 3:45 for pregame tip-off at 4. Obviously, Kentucky Yale as well starts at 1. James Strebel will have the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show around 3 o'clock right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. And shameless plug, IU plays Arizona in Vegas tomorrow night. And I'll be doing a postgame show around 9:30 in the evening as well.
Now, I have a couple of questions before we get to Mel Kiper's latest mock draft. Number one, you were at Assembly Hall, were you not, the other night?
I was on Wednesday night.
Yeah, when they beat Nebraska pretty handily, I believe. And your boy, Jackson Trace Davis, or whatever his name
is. Yes, Trace Jackson Davis.
Had a triple-double.
Yeah, he did. It was only the third time in men's basketball history, IU men's basketball history, that someone's had a triple-double.
Now, is Indiana, now I want you to answer this question with your head and not your heart. Is Indiana, I mean, could they contend for the national championship?
No, they're not that good. I think they are a team that can be a 4 seed, maybe a 3 seed, but probably in that 3, 4, 5 seed range to where they're good enough to be in the top 3, 4 of the Big Ten. I don't know if they'll win the Big Ten. Purdue's been so spectacular so far, but they have a lot to prove. I think Illinois is the team that I think is going to win the Big Ten. But Indiana should be in the top 2 or 3 of the league, and they should be a 3, 4, 5 seed and contend to be in the Sweet 16. I think if they do all that, then it's a successful season, and you can be happy with them. They just don't have the shooting to make that deep of a run in the NCAA tournament. They just don't have it. I mean, they hit threes against Nebraska, great, but they didn't hit jack squat against Rutgers, who's a much better team than Nebraska.
Rutgers must be pretty decent this year because they took Ohio State right to the wire at Ohio State the other night.
Yeah, and there were big questions for Rutgers because they lost Ron Harper Jr. and Geo Baker, two guys that had really been the cornerstones of that program the last few years. But they dropped a game to Miami during the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And they dropped another game as well, but those were both without Paul Mulcahy, their point guard. But he's back now, and they're a much better team when he plays, and they really should have won that game yesterday. That was an incredible play from Ohio State to be able to hit the buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Where do you fall on this, Dan? Because Rutgers is up 3 with about 7 seconds left, and they foul up 3, which leads to Ohio State hitting 2 free throws with 5.8 seconds left, them fouling, Rutgers missing a free throw to where Ohio State's able to get the last second shot off and hit it. Where do you fall on Rutgers fouling at 3?
I never thought fouling was a good idea.
Really? Why is that?
Because I think that there are circumstances, like you just said. I saw the same thing happen. Now, this has been 3 or 4 years ago. But remember when Virginia was behind like by 5 points with 0.6 seconds to go at Louisville? Yeah, I was at that game.
Really? You were there?
I was not Joe Steyer And Sherry and I and Sonny Steyer sat in on the courtside seats. I was not 10 feet from where Louisville inbounded the ball, and the referees pointed at the floor and said, "Stay here." I heard him. He pointed at the floor and said, "Stay here." Man. And the Louisville kid takes off running and turns the ball over. Yeah. No, if it takes a 3-pointer to beat you, put all 5 defensive guys not at the 3-point line, a step above the 3-point line, defend them. And I'll take my chances on that.
So I have a story about that game as well, how I took that in. But this is far more interesting than anything I was doing. So you're sitting courtside. What's your reaction when, I believe it was DeAndre Hunter, hits the 3 at the end for Virginia to hit?
I could have reached out from where I was sitting. I could have reached out and touched that kid when he hit the 3-pointer. It was the most amazing basketball game I've ever seen.
So did you cheer? Were you sad for Louisville?
No, I wasn't. I mean, yeah.
Did you laugh?
I laughed.
I could see you sitting there admitting that you don't.
Yeah, no, I didn't laugh out loud.
Fair.
I was just smiling, but it was incredible, absolutely incredible. And the one thing I'll never forget, Jack, is the referee handing the ball. Who was the Louisville kid that?
Dan Gundel.
Yeah, he not only did he point at the floor, he said, "Stay here." And he hands the kid the basketball, and he takes off running. But that's him. I think I have those numbers right, don't I? They were down 5 less than a second to go, and won the game. The other question I have, I thought I saw, you know, if Diener and Blankenbaker aren't in the studio, I don't get to hear anything. Unless they're both in the studio, then Avery can plug me in and I can hear it. If one of them is remote, then I can't get on until that show is over. But did I hear Scotty Davenport the other day say they have done some renovations at Freedom Hall?
They have, and yeah, they've replaced all the scoreboards. They've updated. You know how in the end zones they would have the stat sheets where they'd have, you know, player 3 has 17 points, 2 fouls, 6 right. rebounds, whatever. Yep. Yep. They've updated all those to where they're now fully electronic instead of, you know, digitalized is the word. Yep. I'm looking. They're fully digitalized right. now. Yep. Now they've and then this next offseason they're going to replace all the lower bowl seats.
Hmm.
And they're going to, I think the way he explained it to me when he was in studio a couple days ago was that they're going to fill in one of the end zones again, which will be really nice to see, which is really, really good for Bellarmine. That's really a big deal to really, you know, be able to make that again the state of the art. They've added Final Four banners as well there for the Final Fours that Bellarmine's made when they were back in Division II, and also an A-Sun title banner.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, Freedom Hall has a very special place in my heart. The only championship I ever won was right there in that building. But Freedom Hall is a great place to watch a basketball
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely.
As long as you're not in those end zones. Those high end zone, you know, they're 100 yards from the floor. But if you're on the sides, it's a great place to watch a game. And Bellarmine is a great team to watch. If you're a fan of basketball, so if you can get in there for $5 when they play Murray State, get out there and watch that team. They are fun to watch.
Absolutely, and that's going to be an absolute blast of a game. That's a really big deal to bring a team like Murray State to Freedom Hall, because they've been one of the best mid-major programs in the country for a long time now. And I get it. Scotty D had the point yesterday. Or whenever he was, I forget if it was yesterday or Wednesday. He was in studio. The days just all run together for me this week. But he said Murray State only has one player on their roster that was on the team last year.
Wow.
Which is nuts.
A complete turnover.
Yeah, because Mac McMahon takes the LSU job, and he takes a bunch of Murray State players with him. So they only have one player that was on the team last year, which is nuts to think about. But to bring them into Freedom Hall for a home game, that's one of the more fun teams you could bring in, especially from a local aspect, both being the state of Kentucky. And I'll put it this way. If I wasn't going to be in Rupp covering the UK game tomorrow, I still honestly might try to do this. I might try to go straight from the Calipari presser to Freedom Hall and see if I can catch the second half.
Absolutely. Yeah. Forget about U of L and Florida State. Forget about Kentucky and Yale. I mean, that would be a fun game to attend in person.
Especially for $5. That's a great deal.
Yeah, exactly. Before we run out of time, I want to quickly cover this Mel Kiper mock draft. And, Jack, I'm missing something here. The number one pick is Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle for Georgia.
Right.
I mean, if you watch the SEC championship, that guy was unstoppable. I mean, LSU had to double-team him every snap, and he was still getting to the ball carrier. He is a beast. I can see that. Number two is Will Anderson, the defensive end from Alabama. He's been highly rated from the very beginning. Number three is Will Levis, quarterback from Kentucky. Now, and here's what it says. It says Levis' stats aren't going to blow you away, but he doesn't have great supporting cast of playmakers around him. I disagree with that completely. He had one of the top two or three running backs in the country. I mean, Chris Rodriguez, if you look at the other running back stats behind that offensive line, and like you mentioned McClain, they got smoke. They got nothing done. Rodriguez was the only one that can gain any yards behind that terrible offensive line. He also had now I know they're freshmen, and you know there wasn't any Robinson out there, but he had some outstanding young receivers. His quarterback rating, listen to this, Jack. His quarterback rating is 60.3. which ranks 61st in the country. And he's got what am I missing here? What am I missing that he has him as the number three, the number one quarterback in the whole country, and the number three pick in his mock draft?
It's ridiculous to me. I don't understand it all. I think they look at him and they just copy and paste Josh Allen and assume he's the exact same thing. Which to me is unfair to Will Levis. It just is. I just don't see it. I don't see it at all. Andy called this pivot that it was going to happen, that they're just going to blame anything that he doesn't do well on Kentucky. They're going to crush the team. They're going to say, well, the offensive line sucked, which that part is true. Oh, he didn't have playmakers. Oh, he didn't have this or that. It's like, no, at some point it has to be. Will Levis has been a starter for 2 years at Kentucky, and he did not improve 1 year to the next. Yes, the offensive line was worse, but even though he didn't have Wandell Robinson, he had a more quantity of receivers to actually throw to.
You
mentioned Tavion Robinson as well was a good receiver, the Virginia Tech transfer, to where I think that's completely ludicrous to rank him that high to me. It's crazy. I view him, everyone says Josh Allen, I view him more like Sam Darnold. Those are two guys that started for 2 years. After year one, they said, well, he's got a big arm, he's athletic, he can make all these throws, he has all these physical gifts. Let's see what he does year two, because both of them struggled with decision-making and struggled with turnovers. And Sam Darnold, year one to year two at USC, did not improve his decision-making or cut down on turnovers. Will Levis, year one to year two, did not improve on decision-making and did not cut down on turnovers. To where Sam Darnold still gets drafted really highly because of the physical abilities and the potential and all those things. But guess what? He makes bad decisions and turned the ball over too much with the New York Jets, and now he's pretty much out of the league. To where I think Will Levis, unfortunately, he'll have the chance to prove me wrong, but he doesn't do the things right that he needs to do to be a starting NFL quarterback, and some team's going to waste a top 10 pick on him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not saying he's not a first rounder, But the first quarterback taken, and when his quarterback rating is 61st, and he does, I mean, they're all basing this on, as Kuiper says, his rocket launcher for an arm, and he makes some wow throws. But it's got to be more than that. I mean, look at the turnovers. Look at the turnovers he's had. I know, again, he's playing. He was injured for a lot of the year. I don't know how substantially. He played behind an offensive line that didn't get him time to get the ball down the field. But I don't know how you're the number three pick in the draft off of having a rocket launcher for an arm.
The thing he needs more than anything is to go to a good situation. And if you're being drafted in the top five, top 10, you're not going to a good situation. That's setting him up to fail. It is.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're exactly right. So do you have big plans this weekend, Jack? You're going to the Kentucky game?
Yeah, tomorrow will be very busy for me. I'm heading to Lexington tomorrow. I did debate for a little while going up there tonight and seeing my guy Cam Drummond, but who we have on the show every once in a while. But it's been a long week and I'm tired. So I'm going to sleep tonight. I am going to go up to Lexington tomorrow and then come right back. See if I can catch the end of the Bellarmine game. If I can't, I'll go home and watch the end of Alabama-Houston, a top 10 game.
That'll be a fun one. That should be a great game, yeah.
Then I'll watch the first half of Indiana-Arizona at home and then drive down here at around 8:39-ish so I can do the post-game show.
Unbelievable. Have you and Avery ever sat down and figured out how many hours a week you work?
Enough.
I'll put it this way, because we used to both be hourly, and we have since graduated to being on salary.
Oh, so, you idiot. No, never do that. Never do that.
Which
not when you're working 80 hours a week.
We can have that discussion off air. I don't need everyone to know the details of that. But I used to know, trust me, exactly how many hours I was working. I don't need to know that anymore. But I have a pretty rough idea based off of that.
Well, can I give both of you a piece of advice?
Absolutely.
Don't get a tattoo that says 502. Because there's a chance that both of you will be in other markets before the end of your radio careers. So don't be like the guy the non-commit or decommit for Louisville. Don't get a 502 tattoo.
Someone who just has, again, we had this conversation off air yesterday, Avery and I and our guy Sweezy, but. I don't judge people who get tattoos. That's their choice. I'm fine with it. I will never get one. Both in terms of, you can say, you know, because I'm Jewish and the Jewish faith doesn't believe in tattoos. I can fall under that sword, but just the idea of a needle putting some permanent ink on my skin just does not sound like a pleasant experience to me. It just doesn't. I'm sorry.
Does it hurt?
Okay, so the ankle is technically one of the most painful places. And
of course, that's where you got it.
Of course I did. And I also don't like people touching my ankles. But the guy, yeah, brilliant idea, you know. Some locations definitely hurt more than others. It didn't hurt for me. Like, it just felt really weird. Like, it's a sensation that's hard to,
It's one that I'll never know. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. It's sort of like a cat scratch, but not a cat scratch.
Yeah. I'm with you, Jack. I don't want to find out what it feels like. Well, I have a big weekend planned.
You're going to the Nuggets game, right?
I'm going to my annual Nugget game.
Oh, you got to go more than one.
I might, because I think they're pretty good. And we don't talk much about the NBA on here. I don't know why, because everybody loves basketball. But the Eastern Conference to me looks like a two-team race, the Celtics and the Bucks and then everybody else. The West is crazy. I was looking at this morning, Jack. The Nuggets, do you know who has the best record in the Western Conference?
It's changed every day, pretty much.
Yeah.
So no, I don't.
The New Orleans Pelicans.
You see, that would not have been one of my top five guesses on that.
The Nuggets are number four. They won on a last second shot last night in Portland by Jamal Murray. The Nuggets are in fourth place in the West. They are a game and a half out of first place. They are also 2.5 games out of being out of the playoffs. I mean, the West is
That's
just...
That's fun, though.
It's just crazy, yeah. But I've got a friend in town who brought his little boy, and he and one of my grandsons are going to go to the Nuggets play the Utah Jazz tomorrow.
Other than the Nuggets... Because I know you have a bias towards them, for sure. What's your favorite pro sports team in Denver to go to a game for?
The Avalanche.
I've never been to an NHL game, so that would be that. That sounds like a lot of fun.
You know, the thing about hockey is it's the only sport out of the top four. To me, it's the only one that's better in the arena than watching it on television, because you just can't, the TV camera can't spread that wide. There's so much action behind the puck, and it's just a fun sport to watch in person. So, the Avalanche would be my first choice. Jack, we really appreciate you filling in for Louie today.
My pleasure.
Drive safely. Great job. Avery, great job with all of the sound cuts we had. We'll be back again Monday morning, and we hope that you are too. This has been Issel and Louie on ESPN. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.